Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches 89.5 Micro FM Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on the Grow Your Own Channel 107.5 FM Greenville, South Carolina, the Jalapeno Channel 87.9 FM Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Wilco Radio, Bazaria County, Texas, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is. Well, it's fucking Monday, man. Not mucking fun day anymore. There ain't nothing fun about it. It's also the third day of August, 2020. It's 12:04 Pacific time. The Word from the Trenches is hosted by myself, Henry Shively, and my brother, John D., U.S. Marine fighting tyranny. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 712-770-5597. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 712-770-5597. And then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you're going to have to hit star 6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with John and myself today. Well, it is currently 75 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 81 degrees today for the Klamath Basin. And it's going to cool down a little today, but it's going to get back hot. It'll stay hot for a little while longer, and I don't know. Probably be the most vicious winter ever. Anyway, how's the weather today out there, Nazi Joyzy, John? John? Uh-oh. He's there. He's fighting a computer, guys. He's pulling things and rebooting and running about as fast as he can. We'll go through the I don't know if you're talking, John, but if you are, we ain't getting you.
You're not getting any noise in there.
Nobody from there, huh? Let's see what's going on here.
What happened?
Oh no.
You're not there. I got X'd out. Unbelievable.
So we're not even on the air.
Not on the calling line. I don't know what happened. It was there. I seen it. Got X'd out or something. Somehow or other.
This service is provided in high definition by freeconferencecallhd.com. There are 3 participants in the conference. The recording has started.
John, are you?
Please announce yourself.
John, are you there? John? Well, we'll run through the break, and then we'll see if John's up there on the other side. Evidently, our call-in line gets just...
Hello?
There you are!
Yeah, did you do the rolling?
Yeah, I did everything, and nobody heard it on the call-in line, because the call-in line was up, and then it just wasn't...
I didn't hear a thing either.
Yeah, it was just... It didn't show it going down or anything, it was just turned off. Had to turn it back on.
I was just wondering. I was like, man, I don't hear anything. I says, gee, I'm wondering if you're having computer problems.
Well, I didn't know that I was. Everything was turned. I mean, everything was lit up and the music was playing. And I came on and I was going to say, I figured you was having computer troubles. And then Laura came up and well, she looked, checked it down there and saw that the no call in line. It just disappeared. It didn't get turned off or anything. She had to load it back on there.
Gee, Henry, I wonder if we have friends out in Tel Aviv somewhere that like that kind of thing to happen to us.
I got to believe it anyway. I was saying that, you know, we got 75 and with 81 as a high here, it's a, you know, it's a little cooled down, but it's going to get hot again. And I'd ask you how the weather was there in Nazi Joyzy, last thing I remember.
No, the only thing I heard you say was when you came up, you were saying, John, John.
Anyways, what I'm looking at here, maybe they don't want us to talk about red flags soar as Big Pharma will be exempt from COVID-19 vaccine liability claims like we were talking yesterday.
Oh, absolutely. They don't want us talking about that. But, you know, I'm wondering, if, because they monitor my computers too, obviously, and I was just doing a whole, I've just spent the last 2-3 hours, I was actually doing a whole bunch of research. Again, I fall into these holes, and I tend to follow them down, even though it may not be the best use of my time at the moment. But I was doing the research on Nicole Yunkerman and the complete tie-in to Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell, the Israeli intelligence services, the corporations that have evolved around them and everything. I mean, you, once you start going down that spider hole, it turns into a huge, huge cavern.
I'll bet you it does. And yeah, and the other one here, over 100, and you know, goddamn, we're about ready to go to war with China. We've about had enough of their shit, don't you know? But then
well,
again,
hey, you got to remember now, we don't go to war with any country we haven't built up as a good enemy yet. You know, we built Imperial Japan so they would be a good enemy. We built Nazi Germany so they would be a good enemy, and we had to build China to be a good enemy because, you know, what good is an enemy if they can't sustain more than 2 or 3 weeks of combat fighting?
Well, evidently, we're still building them as a good enemy because this article says over 125 China-backed companies get millions in United States PPP loans.
Well, of course, Henry. Of course we got to bail them out. We can't go to war unless we have a good enemy.
We realize that's going straight to the Chinese government.
Of course. Well, you know that. But, Henry, they just didn't realize that that's all it was. They, you know, it was just an oversight on their part.
No. I don't think Trump's as mad at him as he's pretending.
Somehow I don't think so either, especially with all them patents he has over there. What do they call trademark rights? Excuse me.
Yeah, Mr. International.
Well, him and Ivanka and Jared Kushner. You know, they've all got severe, what we would call rather substantial business ties over there.
Well, and of course Kushner, he got the PPP loans too, because we all know how poor that son of a bitch is.
Oh, yeah. Well, Henry, you know, he was cutting coupons, and he had to go to Burger King for lunch because he couldn't afford the high-end restaurants he's accustomed to.
Exactly. And I mean, I've been trying to dig up some change or something that I could send him, you know, because I can't sleep at night. That's what it is. Anyways.
It bothers me too, Henry.
We'll jump into this as soon as we get back, brother.
All right.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
And John D. My Gino. All right, red flags soar. I don't get this red flag soar as Big Pharma will be exempt from COVID-19 vaccine liability claims. That means if they kill you with it, you know what? They don't even going to have to pay a dollar. I mean, this is a license to kill.
Now, wait, Henry, stop right here 1 second. Now, remember, they required to put those warning labels on cigarette packages because they knew they were selling a product that could have severe detrimental physical effects to anybody who uses it. Yes. And, of course, that creates a liability class. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there was that huge tobacco settlement. And up to that point in history, that was the largest single transfer of wealth through a court finding, that is, through a liability finding that had occurred, as far as we know, in human history. Now, when you have a product and you know it's going to cause fatalities and or physical injury by its use, you are required to be susceptible to the legal impediments, the legal liability claims that will be lodged against the manufacturer.
Well, absolutely. But what they've done, John, here, is they've invoked their superior corporate authority. I mean, they told
us the
other...
Well, that's right, because we live in a corporation. What did you call it? It was Title 15 or something? Federal Definition of Corporation, the United States government?
Title 28, Definition 15.
You know, I'm writing that down right now, because you've said it several times, and okay. I never wrote it down. I never heard of it until you mentioned it.
I think Katie's the one that found it.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. Well, hats off to Katie. And it was Title 28.
Definition 15. It was her or Mary or Galen. I always give them
now,
the wrong...
Now, this defines the U.S. government as a corporation.
It says it right there, black and white, brother.
Well, you know, and again, over in Dun & Bradstreet, when you look up Centers for Disease Control, it says it is a subsidiary corporation to the parent corporation of the U.S. government.
There you go. Anyway.
All right, so what do we got in this article?
Anyways, like, you know, we were talking last week, you know, about, you know, how they're trying to do with the COVID. But I guess they've already got it in place here in the corporate United States of America. But like I said, you know, they've announced it. I mean, they're telling you right now. The other day they told us that their authority trumped our autonomy, our right to self-governance.
Didn't Bill Gates also come out and tell us that this vaccine is going to kill something like 700,000 people?
Yeah. Well, he's in this article too. You know, he's.
You know, that's more people than the military personnel that were killed in World War II.
Well, you know, I think they're expecting a pretty big kill right here. And the bottom line is, I mean, even if it existed, which it doesn't. I mean, I don't know what they've released or what's, you know, what God...
I think you said it right one time. There is no, you know, what we would call a genetically unique pathogen called COVID-19. It's just the common cold. And there is no fucking cure for the common cold.
And there never will be. At any rate, let's see what this article has to say. This is from Zero Hedge. It was sent in by NC for a discussion on From the Trenches, worldreport.com. Last week, we warned readers to be cautious about new COVID-19 vaccines. Cautious hell. Highlighting how key parts of the clinical trials are being skipped as Big Pharma will not be held accountable for adverse side effects for administering the experimental drugs. A senior executive from AstraZeneca is what it looks like. Britain's...
Well, now, that's the company, if I remember right. They're getting the lead position on this. They're the ones that got that $2 billion grant or whatever it is, or contract.
Yeah, and they're in Britain.
Oh, wow. Nothing but, says safety like having an ocean between you and the court system that could
Well, we were already covered over here. This is them getting covered over there. Britain's second largest drug maker told Reuters that his company was just granted protection from all legal action if the company's vaccine led to damaging side effects. Oh, yeah. But give me two.
Yeah, no. So, Henry, if they load these fucking things up with just straight arsenic and everybody dies from it, oh, well.
Tough titty. This is a unique situation where, as a company, simply cannot take the risk if... We just can't take the risk of pumping poison into you if we know we're going to have to pay for your death. And it's like the Zantac I talked about. You know, 20 years that shit was on the market. It took, you know, and then they, all of a sudden it was gone off the shelves. They come and removed it from the shelves of the store. It's a carcinogen giving you cancer. Oh, here's the number to call. I mean, if you die, your whoever's left of your family can get a few bucks for your death that we kill. And you know, no fucking criminal liability for this shit. And this is crime. It's murder. And they know it's goddamn murder. It's murder for money. Second largest told rulers that its company was just granted protection from all legal action and company vaccine led if their company's vaccine led to damaging side effects. This is a unique situation where as a company simply cannot take the risk if in 4 years, John, you hear me? In 4 years, the vaccine is showing side effects, said Rude Dauber, a top exec at AstraZeneca.
They know the timeline between when they inject someone and when the detrimental or the outright deadly effects will actually manifest.
Exactly.
At least a minimum of 4 years.
Yeah, well, 4 years is when, you know, they expect the people to start dropping. You know,
well, to the point where they can show there's a direct causality link to go after the manufacturer, so that'll occur in less than 4 years. So they want that minimum 4 year buffer.
Well, they'll lie right up to that 4 years. Well, I think 4 years is when you start walking out and you walk down the street and you're seeing dead bodies laying everywhere, and they're going, what happened to them? And somebody has to ask the question. It was Agent Orange. No. It was depleted uranium. No.
No. It was that DuPont Roundup. They were using
that's
that weed killer.
That's what it was. in the contracts we have. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
It was just their time.
Yeah, it was just their time. That's it, man. Everybody knows that.
I wonder that he was only 27 years old and had no health conditions before this. No, it was his time.
He had a jogging suit on. He was doing his 5 miles when he dropped. Oh, man. In the contracts we have in place, we are asking for indemnification for most countries. It is acceptable to take that risk on their shoulders because they're taking no risk at all is why it's acceptable. All they got to do is come with any kind of poison that'll kill you in 4 years, and by God, they're going to get billions on their shoulders because it is their national in their national interest, said Dauber. Define national interest, adding that Astria and regulators were making safety and tolerability a top priority. Ooh, I know they are.
Yeah, safety for them.
I remember sitting here fucking laughing about genocide. AstraZeneca is one of the 25 pharmaceutical companies across the world testing experimental drugs that could be used to combat the deadly virus. And, of course, if testing yields positive results, AstraZeneca could manufacture hundreds of millions of doses with no legal recourse if side effects are seen. Yeah, give me one. Give me three. European officials told Reuters that product liability was a significant discussion to secure new vaccine drugs from Pfizer, it's like Sanofi, and Johnson & Johnson. As for the U.S., well, when it comes to the legal framework around vaccines, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, already has a law called Public Readiness and Emergency Preparedness Act, which provides immunity to vaccine companies if something goes wrong. Oh, you mean my right to legal redress is removed by another act? There's been another act. Somebody wrote something else down on a piece of fucking paper. And my right to fucking sue somebody that kills me or my relatives just disappears because it's a company. I mean, I don't know, people, if I'm going to put up with that. I sure as fuck ain't picking that shot. With AstraZeneca and many U.S. big pharma companies rushing COVID-19 vaccines to the market with governments granting them immunity if the vaccine has side effects, all suggest corporate elites and government regulators have very little faith in these drugs. For more color on leading vaccine in development that produce quote, severe side effects, read our last piece titled Moderna COVID-19 Vaccine Induced Adverse Reactions in More Than Half of the Trial Participants. It's had adverse effects already in more than half of the fucking trial participants.
Well, Henry, that certainly gets them a long way towards their goal of exterminating 96% of humanity because they want to inject 7 billion people, so there's 3 billion plus people wiped out right away.
Well, they're probably a little pissed over that little number, too. Only half? You guys aren't trying. Maybe these rushed vaccines are more for optics, get consumers back into airplanes. No, they're not for to get consumers back into airplanes and hotels and resorts and malls. No. It's for population reduction. And Bill Gates is the fucking, the prince that is in charge of the culling of the fucking goyim. The major red flag is how governments are allowing Big Pharma to rush experimental vaccines with no legal recourse if something goes terribly wrong. There is a legal recourse that you're not thinking about there, Gov. You fucking scumbag son of a bitch. It's called bang. It's called my family dies, yours dies. That's the recourse. And yeah, you ain't going to get the fucking shot me to start with. I mean, there's going to be a lot of related deaths. I wonder if they can sue for those. Anyways, over 125 China-backed companies get millions in U.S. United States PPP loans. This is from Breitbart. It was sent in by Misty for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. More than 125 companies owned by or linked to China have received hundreds of millions of dollars in paycheck protection program loans meant for American small businesses. It was just a oopsie-daisy. Whoops, we didn't mean that. I don't know how that happened. God, we hate them goddamn Chinese. How in the hell did they get a hold of our money? For American small businesses during the Chinese coronavirus crisis, a report alleges. According to an analysis by the Houston advisory consulting firm published by the New York Times, anywhere from $192 million to $419 million in PPP loans funded by American taxpayers has been awarded to more than 125 China-backed companies since March. The report states that at least 32 of those China-backed companies have secured loans for more than $1 million, totaling $180 million alone. The loans were intended to help small... They were intended. This is what they intended. Man, I mean, gosh, you intended. You could write it down and, boy, you know, you could say, this can't go to nobody but these guys. But this is what they intended. The loans were intended to help small businesses with fewer than 500 employees stay afloat amid an economic shutdown spurred by the pandemic. In one case, Continental Aerospace Technology and Aviage Systems, both owned by the Chinese government's Aviation Industry Corporation of China, were able to get $10.35 million in PPP loans. Boy, you're sticking it to them, Trump. Get them Chinese, Trump. God will make them burn in hell for messing with you, dude. Another case reveals that U.S. subsidiaries of China, HNA Group, a financial service corporation, got $1 million each in PPP loans. And a U.S. subsidiary of China's BGI Group originally got a loan for a loan of $1 million. When the media reported the loan, BGI, America's corporation, returned the money. If they catch us, we'll just give it back. And nobody will say nothing. And there'll be no charges. This isn't a crime. This isn't theft. You know, think about petty larceny. People in jail for fucking 10 years for stealing a couple of $1,000. These motherfuckers right here in front of your fucking face fucking skinning you for billions and trillions of fucking dollars and telling you that it's all a fucking fraud and laughing in your face with Mr. Bill Gates right at the top with a shot to fucking ease your pain when you figure it all out.
Don't forget about Melinda Gates when they gave that interview and they told us, Henry, there's a more lethal pandemic coming, and then they got that Cheshire Cat smile to both of them.
Yeah.
They smile right in our face, Henry.
You betcha. We got a little epidemic for that son of a bitch, too. If people would get off their fucking asses, I mean, there's a goddamn, 300 million of us? We can't get one fucking prick? I think there's a lack of effort here. For example, Denderion Pharmaceuticals, a California-based biotech company, received a loan. Now, this is, remember, they're the ones supposed to have poisoned us with this pandemic. It's them goddamn Chinese. But this based biotech company received a loan worth $5 million to $10 million. It is owned by Nangdang Cheng Xbia in China, a state-invested company whose controlled shareholder has close ties to the Communist Party. Boy, you get him. Boy, they don't fuck with Trump. Man. Money from the Paycheck Protection Program has also made its way to the financial technology sector. Sitcom Remember when it was a sitcom, they were supposed to run them out here because they're stealing everything, stealing all our ideas, stealing all our technology we're paying to develop. Oh, them son of a bitches, what'd we do? Hey, did you get him, Trump? Trump got him, guys. Hey, I got it right here. Sitcom, USA Limited Liability Corporation, a Silicon Valley mobile payment firm, received $150,000 to $350,000 in loan money. Zen Fund is a major investor. The company connects American companies to Chinese payment platforms such as Alipay and WeChat, which could also face restrictions from the Trump administration. Here, Dave, and I like closing the barn door after the horse got out, guy. Senate Republicans are currently looking. Now we can hear some. Yeah, I knew them goddamn Democrats. Senate Republicans are currently looking into ensure and such federal loans are to ensure that such federal loans are not awarded to companies with links to the Communist Party of China.
Well, now, Henry, I feel so much better right now. Thank you for reading that part.
I know. God damn, how much more would they have got if they hadn't stepped up?
Oh, it sounds like they got it under control, Henry. Thank God.
Yeah, thank God for the Republicans. One provision would ban China-backed companies from eligibility. They weren't blocked from eligibility to begin with. This payroll plan, you know, they say up here this was put together for small business, United States small businesses for the United States, you know, with the people, our people, helping our people. And they weren't blocked from
I would say that we have all the characteristics of a banana republic, but that would really be insulting to bananas. So we're going to have to come up with some other kind of fruit to call this place what it is.
A persimmon. They're pretty sour.
A persimmon republic. Okay,
but, you know, it's just like, you know, illegal aliens aren't eligible for fucking welfare, HUD.
Driver's
license, all that stuff. I don't know that putting that – I'm just letting these Republicans who are saving us know. I don't know if just putting that word – writing that word down is going to do her, dude, for federal loans.
You're going to need stronger toilet paper to write that down on.
You goddamn right, man. And then you can wipe your ass on it. The report comes as President Trump's administration seeks a crackdown. A crackdown on Chinese investment in the American economy. Over the weekend, Trump promised to soon ban the China-owned video app TikTok, which became who turned our fucking internet over to the goddamn Chinese? Who was that, guys? On Sundays.
I don't know, but don't worry, Henry, don't worry. I'm sure Kushner is going to have a word with Trump and set him straight about who's going to get locked down here.
Oh, yeah, I know. And I can't
wait. Kushner's got a lot of financial interest over there in China. He can't have anything like confrontation coming up and flaring into their business ventures.
Not from some bitch fucking Jew King. Hell no. On Sunday, Senate Minority Leader Chuckie Schumer, New York Democrat, damn Democrats, said he would support a U.S. ban on TikTok, whatever in the hell it is. Chinese investment in the United States economy has reached more than $145 billion, according to data collected by public citizens since 2002. More than $120 billion in U.S. assets has been acquired by Chinese-backed financial interests. That means the Chinese communist government, you goddamn fools. Now they own a big hunk of your fucking country. They bought it, and then these fucking pricks in Washington, they sold it to them. How about that? Oh, but hey, man, we're gonna cut them off the LGBT. They ain't getting no more. God, you know, I'm not gonna hold your balls up out of the fucking sand next time you screw my old lady. I'm done with that shit. Especially in real estate and construction technology and energy, and it's time for the break, and we'll be right back.
Take your brain, it's time to go. You don't have long to go. Remember me, cause I'm the
Remember me.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
To the word from the trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches 89.5 Micro FM Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. The word from the trenches is a listener sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this program on the air, go to fromthetrenchesworldreport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated and needed. The Word from the Trenches is hosted by Henry Shively and John D. U.S. Marine Fighting Tyranny. And it's time for the Tactical Report. And I want you to be careful, John, because, man, they're getting pretty fucking tough in their goddamn articles these days. And, man, I mean, I wouldn't want to piss them off. But anyway, you have the floor, brother. Careful.
I'll keep that in mind, Henry, and I'll try to be very careful about whose toes I step on. All right, let's get moving. My name is John D., U.S. Marine Fighting Tyranny. This is the Tactical Report. It is Monday, August 3rd. It's already August. Can you believe it? August 3rd, 2020 at 3:40 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. That's 1540 to all you military-minded out there, and to all the retards who think voting in the next election is going to solve all these problems, Mickey's little hand is past the 3 and his big hand is pointing up near the 8. And if you're not sure what an 8 is, that's the thing that looks like a little snowman. All right, let's get moving here. A lot of interesting things happened. Remember Friday, we were talking about the helicopters. I just want to revisit this issue real quick. And we were talking about the helicopters over there at the Climate Lake, I believe it was called. And it was a, it looked like, from the grainy video, it looked like a CH-47, that was the bigger one. And it looked like either a Huey or a UH Black Hawk following it, which is your armed escort. Now, they were painted black. Regular military paint jobs on the helicopters is not black. It tends to be the green camouflage. At least I've never seen a black military helicopter, unless you were talking about special ops, like Navy SEALs might go in on one. But typically the agencies that use the completely painted, the blacked out ones, and that is no fin flash. There's no identifying marks on it. There's no call sign on it. No nothing. No flag. Nothing. No marks whatsoever. It's just painted pure black. Those are special ops, or CIA. And DHS uses those also. So one of those three sources is likely it. Now, there may be some other agencies that use them. I don't know. I've never heard of it. But that doesn't mean there are not some other agencies out there using those blacked out, completely blacked out helicopters, especially since a fin flash, which is, you know, those registration numbers on the tail somewhere that's easy to recognize as the aircraft is flying. It's an FAA requirement that all aircraft have them, and to be able to fly that and not have them, that's a special class. That's a special exemption, and only a few agencies have those that I'm aware of, typically military, CIA, or DHS. But again, there may be some others. Now, my daughter happened to be down in Atlantic City last week on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and when she came back, she had told me she had seen one of these black helicopters, completely blacked out, twin-rotor helicopters flying, and it was only one with an escort. So what we're seeing here is you're seeing these singular incursion helicopters, these singular operational helicopters flying about. Now, remember, when you go into an area and you're going to take an area, there's one of two ways you can do it. You fly into the center of your objective, you land, you take control of the center, and you work your way out. Usually not done that way. Or the other way is you take control by grabbing the out and working your way in, which is typically how you grab towns, regional areas, and certainly villages or anything like that. You don't normally fly in and take control of a single location and work your way out. That's normally not how it's done. And the only reason they do that is usually because they're to grab a single building, get control of a single building, because they're after a person or a small party of individuals. Typically, that's the only reason they do that. The other reason that you'll see a small contingency force that is going to be aimed at trying to seize control of an area is because they're on their way to what's called a node point. Now, remember, you can have, say, 15 aircraft take off from a location, and they're all going to vector out in different directions. They're all going to have different landing spots. They're not going to fly in formation over to their objective and then disperse outwards. They're probably going to take several different routes to reduce observation and reduce the possibility of arousing suspicion, because they're all going to go to control points, node points. And when you go into an area, when you want to seize an area, a township, or even a state, the best way to do it is not seize so much the center of control, which is going to be your government buildings. That's going to be where your legislator is, your Congress is, or whatever it is, your state legislature. No, normally what they'll do if you want to seize an area, let's just take a state for instance here, like Staten Island, where I grew up. To seize Staten Island, if I was a military organization, all I would have to do is grab 4 bridges, because that's all there is going in on and off Staten Island. I take control of those 4 bridges, and I've basically locked up the entire area of Staten Island, which is not small, but it's not big either. It's about the size of Manhattan, believe it or not, roughly. But that's all it would take to seize control of it, because there are no tunnels. And there's no major airports on Staten Island whatsoever. Now, there is one remnant airport from World War II that they have left intact. It's called Miller's Field over there in Newdorp, but it's not an active airfield. I think they've kept it there in case of a national emergency, and they need an airfield that is right next to New York City, because it's literally about 5 minutes, 10 minutes away from New York City. But if you take off from Miller's airfield, you're about a minute, not even a minute away from New York City. So I think they've kept the airfield there intact, even though I've never seen it used as an airfield. And that's where I grew up, in the Miller Airfield area. But again, we're talking about seizure of an area, and we're talking about seeing these black op helicopters flying around, but they're not doing so in a large formation, which tells me they're training on how to go in and seize node points. What are node points? Bridges, tunnels, waterways, and, of course, interchanges between major highways, because if you just take control of the interchanges, you take control of one interchange, and you may lock up 3, 4, or even 5 different highways all at one time that go through that interchange point. That's a control point, a node point. And that's what it looks like they're ramping up for, people. So you got to keep an eye out. If you see any of these helicopters, bring it up to the radio show or post comments on the radio show comment section after the radio show, because we want to understand what's their level of training, how aggressive are they getting about this, because that really gives us a strong indication of how close they may be to executing that that particular method of trying to lock down an area or lock down a country. And we're going to get into what are some of the other indicators that they may be trying to lock down the whole country once again. All right, let's get moving here. Real quick, over in that fraud called the financial markets, we've got gold at $1,976. It was as low as 1960. There was a slam down a little while ago, a few hours ago, but it did rebound a little bit, but it's still below the $2,000 mark, just below. But it is going to break 2,000, no question about it. Silver is at $24.37 an ounce. We've got that fraud called the market indicators. We've got the Dow Jones Industrial Average just shy of 27,000, a little bit under there. The U.S. Zala Index is holding at about 93%. And crude oil is at $40.85. And I'm grateful for oil being cheap, because when oil explodes to the upside, that is when you see instant communication of this price increase get communicated to every single commodity that we rely on in modern civilization that you can think of. So as long as oil is cheap, at least that's helping to tame the consequences of inflation. Now remember, what's inflation? Inflation is not the price increase. Inflation is increasing the monetary base, that is printing currency or using your keystroke computers, your computer keystrokes to increase the size of your monetary base. The result of that is debasement of the currency, which causes price increase. And that is coming, people, guaranteed. And one of the ways we will see it eventually is we are going to see the price of crude oil increase. And when we see that increase, everything instantly increases with it. All right, real quick. Talking about gold, over in King World News, and there's a couple other sites that carry this same article, look who just said gold is like a freight train and may top 3,000. Now, remember what I told you. It's not that the price of gold goes up. It's the value of the currency goes down. So what they're saying is it's not the price of gold is like a freight train and it's going to 3,000. It's more that the value of the currency is like a waterfall and it's just in free fall. It's just dropping through the air like water over a waterfall. That's what they're really saying. Now, we haven't seen the ultimate effect of that quite yet, which is when oil goes up. When we see oil go up, when it breaks $100 a barrel, $125, $150 a barrel, that is when you're going to see the real effects of hyperinflation start setting in. So keep an eye on that. Let's go real quick. A couple of interesting headlines. Talking about what I believe was one of the major triggering events for the so-called coronavirus. Backtracking a little bit. Remember, it was the Jeffrey Epstein revelations, because it exposed the entire connection of child trafficking, pedophilia, human sacrifice, and, of course, the complete and absolute corruption within the fraud system, because they had to do something with all the money they were making just from the human trafficking. But it's not just the human trafficking. It was the fraud from the drug trade. It's the fraud in the financial markets, in the stock market, the equity markets, the derivatives market. All of that was at risk of exposure because of the Epstein revelations. And as Snape had said in Harry Potter, they risked having their world exposed, and they can't have that. None whatsoever, because this is their main mechanisms of control. And if you have the globe wake up, even just 25% of the globe wake up to the sheer magnitude and truth of all these revelations and the complete and absolute psychopathic control these people are seeking to have over the planet and the magnitude of the crimes they've been getting away with, there would be a revolution in this country and every other country by tomorrow morning. And as Henry Ford had once said, if people understood how our banking system actually works, there wouldn't be enough lampposts in this country to hang all the people that they would seek to kill. Going on. Over in Zero Hedge, records of Prince Andrew's location on night of molestation destroyed by police. Of course they did, because remember, what are the police there for? What is the FBI there for? It's there to protect the criminal cartel running this country, not put them in jail. The police do their best to make sure they never get in jail. And what's one of the ways that you can ensure these people will never go to jail? You destroy the information. Now remember, Prince Andrew has already been outed several times. He's in a whole bunch of articles. Plus his name is all over those Epstein flight logs on that little private jet that took all kinds of people to Epstein Island. You know, Fantasy Island, we can call it Epstein's Fantasy Island. And Prince Andrew is unquestionably one of the regulars there. And in fact, it's come out in several articles that he had a thing. His thing was, and all these freaks have their thing, what they like, little boys, little girls, farm animals, whatever it is. But apparently, Epstein really had this thing about underage virgin girls. Oh, yeah, they had to be virgin. It wasn't even that they were underage. They had to be virgins also. And he liked them around 13 or 14 years old, according to what the article said. So there's a little bit of exposure of their world that they can't have out there. So they're going to have to up the ante in the spin cycle here, the news cycle, to try and distract people's attention away. And nothing will do that better than another major lockdown. I'm guessing on that. Let's keep moving here real quick to a few other headlines. It was down here. I like this. No silver bullet. This is the WHO's. World Health Organization, Communist Central, the WHO's Tedros, and he's in charge of the WHO right now, I guess. WHO's Tedros, and I guess that means Dr. Tedros, because usually the people in charge of the World Health Organization are doctors. WHO's Tedros warns COVID-19 vaccine may never be found. Now, I saw another interesting article, and this was mentioned by, who the hell was it? CDC. Somebody over in the CDC, I forget who the head of the CDC is right now, but he said it looks like this COVID-19 may be around forever. That's right, people, just forever. And according to them, you know, according to their physiological and their biological heresy, you know, whatever antibodies you develop to COVID-19, well, it's only going to last a few weeks. They'll be gone in months, so you're going to have to get the vaccines. Even if you get the COVID-19, you get better, you have the antibodies, which is there to protect you for the rest of your life. No, not according to them. According to them, there's a new kind of mantra about antibodies. Yes, you can get antibodies, but guess what? They can disappear in a matter of weeks now, so you're going to need this vaccine. That's right, people. Although over here, you've got over in the World Health Organization, he's saying, well, that vaccine may never be found. So what's going to be the solution? That's right, complete and utter lockdown, people. Complete, utter lockdown. I like this one. Over in also Zero Hedge. Peter Schiff, the dollar crash will take down the entire U.S. House of Cards. Now, I know he sounds a little bit like Chicken Little, the sky is falling, but he is absolutely right. The only thing he is off on is his exact timetable, and he doesn't give one for the most part, but he is absolutely right about what the consequences are going to be and why those consequences are going to be realized, and that is our financial system is a complete and utter fraud. So that thing in your pocket that you're calling a U.S. dollar, that thing, that stuff that's called currency, which is based on a debt-based fiat currency system, a fractional reserve system, is a complete and utter fraud, and it is in its end game. It is going to crash. It is going to become worthless. So if you have some of that stuff, you damn well better think about what you can transfer it into that has value and will retain value once this currency that we call money crashes and hyperinflates and becomes absolutely worthless, because no one's going to take it from you at that point. Going on. Got that. Now, I like this. This is over in Shit Hit the Fan Plan. And they fell off the screen here for about 5 days straight. Interesting. Usually, they post new articles every single day. But for some reason, the last article they had posted was back there on the 30th or 31st or something. Then there was nothing for days, which is unusual for them. But they just posted a few new ones, luckily, so it looks like they're up and running. But here's an article posted on July 31st. Hold your horses. Silver crash imminent. Now, what does that mean? That doesn't mean silver is going to become worthless. What it means is the manipulators are going to step in with the paper silver market. That is, they're going to bring millions and millions and millions of ounces of paper silver to market, cause the price to crash, trying to convince people that silver and gold has no real value, so you're stupid for putting your money in it. No. If the price of silver does go down, it's going to be very temporary, and that would be the time for you to step in there and buy some. The problem is finding it. Just because the silver price drops doesn't mean you're going to be able to take physical delivery, because typically what's happening now, every time there's a dip in the price, people are rushing in, putting orders in and demanding physical delivery. The problem is there's usually not enough supply to meet the demand. So there starts to be a premium attached to it very quickly, meaning even though the price of silver may be $10, it might cost you $25 or $30 just to have it delivered to you because of premiums. So I would keep an eye on it. If you see the price of silver drop, I'd go in there and buy some, because you ain't going to see this happen too much at all, if this crash even happens at all. Going on. Here's a new one over in IntelliHub. Federal banker becomes new COVID authority. That's right, people. The bankers are now stepping in, and they become the medical masters of the universe. Federal bankers become new COVID authority. Says we will need a full, real hard lockdown to save the economy. Because, you know, nothing saves the economy like destroying it. You betcha. Let's see what this says real quick. The president of the Minneapolis Federal Reserve and former assistant secretary of the Treasury. Now, remember what I told you. What is the Department of Treasury? That's right. That's Zionist Central. That is one of the main mechanisms by which they have seized control of this country. And the only people who are allowed to become secretary and assistant secretary of the U.S. Treasury are the fucking hardcore Zionists, the hardcore communists. So you got a hardcore communist telling you exactly what they're planning on doing here. President of the Minneapolis Federal Reserve banker and former Assistant Secretary of the Treasury for Financial Stability under the Bush and Obama administrations, Neil Kashkari, says the only way to save the American lives from COVID-19 is to fully lock down the entire nation and all of its inhabitants. My God. Now, if that doesn't sound like martial law to you, I don't know what does. Now, of course, this may go a little bit towards explaining the very conversation that you, Henry and I had here on Friday in that video, talking about them black helicopters flying all over the place. Because remember, if you're going to seize a country, you're not going to go in there and you're not going to seize the municipal buildings that are the center of government for each township. No, you're going to go and you're going to lock down the node points, the main avenues of travel, because if people can't move, you've effectively locked down the country. It's also a great time for the real war to start, don't you think? Remember, when these people land, the only thing they're going to have with them is whatever they're carrying with them. They're not likely to land, especially when you're grabbing a node point. They're not likely to land at a military armory that just happens to be stationed in the middle of a highway or a waterway system. It's not going to happen. They're going to have whatever they have on them. Most of these units are going to be quick reaction force types, and they're only going to have enough ammo and supplies typically to sustain them. And if I remember right, it's going to be for 96 hours, and that's assuming it's not a direct hostile confrontation with the forces they're trying to lock down. Now, once these people land, you've got to move quick. If they try and seize this country, this is the time to attack them before they can get resupply distribution logistics organized and implemented. Because the only thing they have to fight with is whatever they have on them. And that means they only have a few hundred rounds of ammo, maybe 400 or 500 rounds, but a combat load. When I went into combat, and this was during Desert Storm, when I went into combat, a combat load for a U.S. Marine was 90 rounds. That's three fucking magazines. And you're done. You're out of ammo. Now, before we went in, we knew we were going in. I went around and I did a lot of fucking horse trading with some shit I had, and I managed to double my load, so I had six magazines. But still, how long would fucking six magazines last you in a really hot gunfight? Oh, I give it about 20 minutes, maybe 25 if I'm being, if I'm exercising what's called real ammo discipline, but that's about it. And that's going to be the point where you can overwhelm them. So keep that in mind. Going on. I want to mention this. This was posted by Hal Apino back on August 2nd. Medium and large hours pack review and setup. This was a good video. Now, there's a U.S. Marine here. I've seen some other of his videos. He's pretty darn good. I like his presentation. And he goes into hours packs. He talks about their history. He shows you what the differences are. He shows you how to set one up if you get one, if you order one, and it comes disassembled, because sometimes that's what will happen. You can order this new old stock hours packs. You get the hours pack, but all the parts are separate. And if you've never assembled one, this video would be enormously helpful to you. If you're debating about what kind of carrying system you want to have, he also shows you what are some of the characteristics of an Alice pack that make it such an excellent carry system. So this was a really good video. I really enjoyed it. The only thing I take issue with is when he shows you attaching the metal frame to the rucksack, to the Alice pack itself. Now, on the rucksack itself, there are two lower tethers on each side to tie to the frame. And he goes through this little triangular-looking opening where there's a metal truss there, a piece of metal that ties the tubular metal frame, the upright metal frame, to the part that goes a little bit more horizontal. There's a little opening there, and he loops through that, and then he ties it off through the tab. I've seen that done. The only issue I take with that is that flat piece of metal there, it's a brace, it cuts into the strap after a while. If you're giving your rough Alice pack a lot of rough surface, that metal piece, it's not sharp, but it's not dull either. It's very thin. So when you take your strap and you're pulling against it continuously, if you're giving it a lot of rough surface, I have seen it start to cut through straps. When you see him mounting it, you will also see just below that there's a black circle, a black hole there. It looks like it has a black circle. That's a black hole, but that black circle is a plastic insert that actually rounds off the metal so that there is nothing resembling a sharp edge there. And that's typically what I put my strap through. I go through that black opening. It's kind of like on your desk where your computer, if you have a hole in it, your desk has a hole in it to put power wires through. Sometimes they put that little black insert so there's no sharp edge there. It's rounded off. It's exactly the same. And that's the only issue I take with what he did. But I've seen a lot of guys do it, and I've done it myself. Mount it just like he said. You put it through that little triangular opening, wrap it around twice, and then zip it off with the latch that's there for it. Either way is good, but I prefer to use that black circle. All right, so we talked about all that. Now let's get into one last interesting thing. Now I sent an email. There was an article written by a guy called, Johnny Vetmore. And he's actually over in the UK, over in the United Kingdom. Johnny Vetmore, and he wrote a great article, great expose, and the name of it was, and we had it up on our site already a couple weeks ago, The Epstein Associate Nobody's Talking About, the IDF, which is the Israeli Defense Force, linked Bond girl infiltrating the UK NHS. And the UK, of course, is United Kingdom. NHS is National Health System. Well, her ties to the Israeli intelligence services and into business interests in Israel, United States, and around the world is far, far, far bigger than this headline would let you believe. So anyway, there was a couple of interesting things he talked about. And, of course, he's talking about how her name is Nicole Yunkerman and how Nicole Yunkerman is listed in Epstein's flight logs. Now, the Epstein's flight logs were ordered released last week by a judge. So they've released some of them. Now they've redacted some of it, and not everybody's name that we know were in the flight logs appears in this list, at least not yet. But a lot of names were released. Now in that flight log it says Nicole Yunkerman had flown with just Jeffrey Epstein, and this was the unusual pattern that Johnny Vetmore takes the time to make sure you understand, that many of the times that Epstein would fly on his personal jet going to his fantasy island there with all his pedophile friends, he would normally go with an entourage. Normally there would be several people on the plane. But there are very few instances of Jeffrey Epstein flying with just himself or, in particular, one other person. And, in fact, one of those that has come up, the times that he has flown by himself or with just one other person was with Nicole Yunkerman on three dates. March 22nd, 2002, August 31st, 2002, and then on the rebound flight, it seems they flew from Paris to the UK in August of 2002, and then they flew back from UK to Paris, same exact route, on September 2nd. So they were there for 3 days and then came back together also, and there was nobody else on the plane according to the flight logs, just them two. But what I want you to notice here is, number one, that in and of itself is extremely unusual. So this tells you Epstein was having very, very covert meetings, very secretive meetings with this recognized and identified Israeli operative called Nicole Yunkerman on three separate occasions. And look how far it goes back, though. All the way to 2002, they were already working together. So this has not been going on for just a couple of months or even just a few years, but you're talking about decades of cooperation. This is what they cannot allow to be exposed, and you are going to see another major event, another major lockdown coming. You just heard me read some of them headlines talking about how even the Federal Reserve has now become the medical doctors of the universe, and their solution to this common cold that they're calling COVID-19 is to lock down the whole fucking country and lock it down hard. Well, all that tells me is you damn well better lock your magazine into your fucking rifle real hard and make sure that round is chambered and make sure your knife is sharp, because I think they're going to go for the full-blown confrontation, and they're clearly intending on going for a full-blown lockdown of this country. No question about it. And we're going to get back into preparations if you decide to use the science pack, but even if you don't, almost everything I cover here is applicable to any carry system you use. I only emphasize the Alice Pack because I really do believe it's one of the best carry systems ever developed in human history. Really, I really do. So we're going to get back into that tomorrow, but unless there's any questions or comments, I'm going to hand this back to my friend, my mentor, and my brother, Henry Shivey. Come on up. I hear somebody out there.
Don't let them land. Take them out about 200 feet up.
Yeah, well, if you can, absolutely. Now, that was his comment, to take. Don't even let them land. Take them out of 200 feet up. Remember, the hard part is the CH-47s and the CH-46, that's the twin rotor troop carriers that you typically see used by the Army and U.S. Marines. They have been around for many decades. They are tried and true. They are well-tested, well-developed. They've had all the major modifications that you need for a combat zone, because that's where they've been used. They've been used heavily in combat zones, and they've sustained every kind of damage you could possibly think of. So it may be a bit harder to shoot them in the sky than you think, or to cause enough damage that would cause them to abort a landing, but that doesn't mean they won't. If they think they're taking ground fire, the one thing they may do, even if you haven't damaged them, is just abort the landing attempt and fly off. I don't know if I would do that. I think I would want them to land, allow them to start exiting, and taking them out right there as they're exiting the helicopter, because now the pilot has a conundrum. Does he sit there and allow the rest of them to try and get out, or do they try and pull the troops back in and take off? So there's going to be several seconds, 10 seconds, 15 seconds of maybe indecision there that you can put to your advantage to take these scumbags out. Anyway, that's just a consideration or a thought on my part. If there's no more questions or comments, I'm going to hand this back to my friend, my mentor, and my brother, Henry Shively.
And don't forget that escort helicopter is going to have to probably a 50 caliber machine gun in the goddamn coming out the side of it.
Well, he'll probably have – now, they don't have the SAW anymore from what I understand, which was the squad automatic weapon. They have the updated version, which they didn't have yet when I was in, but – my friend who did stay in and only retired out in 2012, I believe it was, 2013, he retired out. They did have it in service before he got out, and he said, it's a fucking awesome weapon. The machine gun that they will have mounted on those side doors of the escort helicopter, it is a formidable weapon. It is capable of sustaining a high rate of firepower with high accuracy. So do not take it lightly. You absolutely are in danger if he points that thing in your direction and starts firing. So make sure you've got good cover and concealment at all times, because you may be downrange of one of the most lethal machine guns ever designed in all of human history.
And well, if you had a couple of hundred guys with scoped rifles, that we did, that their only target was that open side of that goddamn helicopter. And then they opened up, and then you leave, you know, have the rest, maybe a couple hundred guys shooting into the other helicopter. I mean, bullets fly both ways.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But you now remember what you're talking about. You're talking about trying to assemble an offensive attack team on very short notice, because when they do this, they're gonna do it fast. They're gonna be moving in very quickly,
yep.
And we may have no more than half a day's notice that this is underway. Because they, from their point of view, from the time they lift off to the time they want to have total lockdown, if they can do it in under 6 hours, they're going to consider that a success.
Biggest conundrum I see is if you, you know, knowing where.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And if you knew where, you could, I mean, you could take care of any situation, I do believe, if you had enough people and enough guns.
Oh, absolutely. Now, I don't know what their approach is going to be, but for me, if I was the commander, the first thing I would do is I would take control of these node points, especially at the highways, the intersection of major highways. Number one, they tend to be large areas, these intersection with the clover leaves and everything for the interchange. So it's very hard for anyone to sneak up, come up the side, and get close enough that you feel comfortable with your targeting capability rather than shooting from 400 yards out, 500 yards out in the brush. But it's going to give them time to land, deploy before anyone even knows what's going on. They're just going to stop traffic, lock it up both ways, and then they're going to work their way out and try and seize other assets, other avenues of transit. I think the first point of attack for them is going to be is to simply stop the movement of people to and fro, meaning highways, waterways, major airports.
That's going to be tough where I'm at. I'm here to tell you right now.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not an easy thing, but I do believe that would be, you know, they're not just going to land in the middle of a little tiny side street where there's, what, six or seven residential houses. Although they may do that and try and march to a major node point, what you want to do is just land right in the node point because you want the element of surprise in your favor.
Well, we've got Kingsley Field here. It's big enough to land the B-1s on. They're in Klamath Falls. And, somebody told me they saw a jet land at the goddamn Chiloquin Airport down here. I mean, they lengthened that airport a few years. I mean, well, it's been about probably 8, 10 years ago. But they we used to fly in there in a twin engine Cessna, and we'd have to stall it actually to land it. And they said that they saw one land there and take off. So,
well, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, but remember, that's the beauty of the helicopters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you only need a somewhere to land slightly bigger than your helicopter, and the CH-47 with its rotors is that you need only about a 300-foot clearing.
Yep, that's about a football field at the school, ain't it?
Yep, that's it. Yeah, yeah, any school football field would work perfect.
Exactly. All righty, brother. I mean, I think you stepped over the line a little bit there. I mean, talking about Epstein, but...
I'll find out when my computer shuts down on its own in just a few minutes.
There you go. Hey, you know what? We'll do it again tomorrow. We're at the top of the hour. We will be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern for another broadcast, The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And, you know, start thinking about ways, man, that you could make it, you know, at the place where they landed really do something nasty there. I mean, that's all that's been going through my mind is, you know. It's something simple, that something, but yet quite devastating. That being said, man, I mean, people, it's only going to get worse day after day, and I think John's right. The total lockdown. I mean, they can't agree that they don't even disagree anymore. It has gotten so fucking stupid and so crazy. And I mean, nobody's life is fucking settled. Nobody. I mean, unless you're, you know, just a complete idiot. And, you know, as far as this COVID lasting forever, is that mask wore a goddamn callus on your nose yet? I mean, because you're going to be wearing that son of a bitch. I mean, this is to subjugate the goddamn planet. There's no two ways about it.
Did you see Fauci's latest strong recommendations? Not just a mask, but complete complete face shield.
Oh, yeah.
With goggles.
With goggles. Exactly. Well, I guess that make it harder for them to see. I mean, they put on all of these facial recognition cameras, and now we're covering our faces. It's like I said, I think that the old propaganda, the old communist took control because the younger people, they were just, you know, the high technology and shit. They were doing so many goofy things that it was, I mean, that's what brought it to the point that it's just so fucking obvious what's going on. And now they're going to try and do some hardcore shit, and we're going to have to fucking be hardcore. We're going to hit them hard. Hit them as hard as you fucking can. Every one of you. I mean, it's your fucking life, whether you realize it or not. It's the life of your children. It's the life of your grandchildren. And that is the word from the trenches.
Take care, everyone. Later.